Forever
Dog. Here we go. Okay. Here we go.
And this is our Halloween episode too.
Well, there, I got news for you guys. From now on, this is a Halloween show.
Sure, sure.
Okay.
Like, this is not going to be the only Halloween episode. Oh, I've already talked. As far as I'm concerned, the show's already started.
Double Threat is back.
Hi, guys. It's your friends Tom and Julie.
Welcome to our spooktacular episode of Double Threat. Ooh. And why is it a spooktacular one? Simple. Go look at your calendar. Are you back?
So angry.
You back
yet? Look at your calendar.
Stupid.
Stupid.
You're still looking at it, dummy?
It's Spooktober, right. Idiot.
No, flip it. You still have it on September, you moron. Flip it.
I don't like this new version of Siri.
Yeah. Siri, can you take it down a notch?
I'll do my best, asshole. I want a Baltimore Siri.
You want a Baltimore, like with a Baltimore accent?
Asshole.
I want a Siri that argues with Alexa all the time. The time is 11:47. That's what I said.
The time is for you to shut your mouth.
It's time for you to unplug yourself.
It's time for you to take my name out of your mouth.
Why don't you ship yourself back to Amazon?
Why don't you ship yourself back to China?
Mr. Trump hates China.
Hates China.
But he likes
hamburgers. Remember,
would you vote for him if he said he would put the hot dog on the McDonald's menu as a permanent fixture?
No.
If he was suddenly like
McPizza, maybe.
If suddenly Trump was like, if you vote for me on January 1st, 2021, McDonald's will sell McPizza and McHot dogs.
When did it become a thing for people to complain about, like, McDonald's not selling things all the time?
Yeah, there's a lot of people out there who seem to be twisted about McRibs or whatever. I don't. It's like,
the McRib's not on the menu anymore.
It's always, so Brett has pulled up the McDonald's pinned tweet.
From a day ago.
Oh, gross.
It's always, when is the McRib coming back? And never, how are you doing, person that runs the McDonald's account? That's their fun
and
tweet.
Facebook responded, honestly, same. No, IDK, when dark mode is coming out. What is that? Angry emoji? Also, I'm fine, thanks. What's happening?
That's the crying emoji, but crying so much that there's like a puddle of tears underneath your face.
This
and
is
McDonald's
so gross.
Responded?
This
What's
is McDonald's
happening?
And Facebook having a conversation on Twitter on a different platform, a third awful
right.
place. One awful
and
place
like
is McDonald's.
And trying to speak like kids do on the internet.
McDonald's, you want to get something straight? You tell me you can figure why the price of a fish filet sandwich swings
so dramatically. I knew this was
so going to
be about the fish filet. I knew it.
You
waiting.
Go there. You can do, how can you do, no, how can you do 2 for $5 one day and it's $1 for $5 the next day? It's fine. Either the stuff costs nothing and you're ripping us off most of the time, or when you do a sale, you're losing your shirt. There's no way to have that much of a price fluctuation.
When was the last time you had a fish of filet? A fish
a
filet. I call it fish of filet. You do?
Yeah, I had one a week ago. Yeah.
Do you have them hold the cheese? over your face so you can eat it like
like Hannibal Lecter.
Like a fish eats bait.
No, I have them hand me the cheese so I can talk through like Hannibal Lecter with that guard's face.
That's Sergeant, what is it? That's Officer Pembry, damn it. That's Officer Jim Pembry, damn it.
That's what I do. I say, give me the Jim Pembry. I'd like a number 7 meal, medium Diet Coke and Jim Pembry style, please. And then I pull up to the drive-through to pay, and then they throw this hot slice of cheese on my face.
They have the eye holes are already cut out.
Already cut out.
They throw it on your face.
It's not Burger King. Are you kidding? What, Burger King? What, am I going to Burger King? No, the eye holes are cut out already. Well, this is some kind of Halloween episode, huh?
Well, here, okay, so listen, friends, it's October, or as I like to call it, Spookoween.
Okay.
Time.
Spookoween.
Time. And we've decided that we're going to just do Halloween shows until we're sick of doing Halloween shows because.
Yes. This show Halloween is now is mostly scary. A Halloween show.
Yeah. In the Monster Mash.
Yes.
What's your favorite part of the Monster Mash?
The end of it.
You mean when you get to listen to something else?
Yeah, exactly.
Oh,
come on. The final 3 seconds of Monster Mash is my favorite because that means it's over.
Oh, no. I'd like to know a song that tells a better story. I was working in the lab. Is that what if it's a story about how he created COVID? I was working in the lab on a Chinese virus.
I'm not going to call it COVID-19. I'm calling it the Bobby Boris Pickett flu. What's your favorite part of the song?
Whatever happened to the Transylvania twist?
Sure. That makes sense. Yeah. No, he was mad at the Crypt Keeper 5 and the Transylvania twist.
Do you think that the Crypt Keeper was the head of that band? Do you think he was like the front man?
Hello, Booley.
To test the mic.
Booley like, Klausner.
Sibilance. Check, check, check.
Unique New York.
Puh, puh, puh.
Puh. Papa. Papa. He's dead. Ooh.
All right. I think sound check's over. We're good.
I've got a little more to run.
I have to say.
Okie dokie.
Okie dokie. Here I chokey.
Hi, everybody. Tim Heidecker here to let you know about our latest episode of Office Hours Live.
Office Hours is great fun.
With the great John Early and Theda Hamill.
Very handsome. Thank you.
They're here to talk about their new movie, Stress Positions. And we just had a wonderful time. There was a lot of laughter and joy. Don't believe me? Well, listen for yourself on the podcast app of your choice. You're not going to want to miss a second. That's at Office Hours Live. At the podcast app of your choice.
Bum, 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 bum.
I love Vic and Doug, and I love drinking my wine.
What is a porno version of Double Threat? Well, it's called Double Penetration Threat, obviously.
I guess it could literally just be called Double Threat, actually. Which is the most upsetting thing.
We
would have to soften our porn parody title. Ours would have to be less, like the porn parody title would be less potentially menacing than the actual title of our show.
What if it's, now bear with me, this is a leap.
Okay.
But I think you're ready for it. What if the porno version of Double Threat is called Double Brett?
Well, that.
And it's about two Bretts. One is Porno Brett and one is regular Brett. And Porno Brett wins.
Yeah. And does one have a goatee?
Yeah.
Porno Brett.
And then at the end, he's like, and so Porno Brett's like, I'm going to make this show a porno and regular Brett's like, not on my watch. And at the end, porno Brett, as I mentioned, wins.
Sure. And then we cut to like a broom closet and regular Brett's tied up in a chair next to a mop bucket. And then it's like it's the shareholders meeting for Forever Dog and like the other Brett is at it and he's wearing a mask. He's wearing a COVID mask over his goatee so that nobody knows it's him. And he's like, our projections, 2021, the operative word for Forever Dog is pornography. And then like regular broom closet. Brett's like, vroom, from now on, every podcast is about or just is pornography.
And then you see, and then all of a sudden the door opens and Brett's like, oh, thank God, it's Tom and Julie. And it's like, no, we're porno Tom and Julie. Yes.
Yeah, we lower our COVID masks and you have a goatee and I have a goatee.
Yeah.
It's just like.
And then he's like, and he doesn't say this because you can't hear him say it, but he's thinking like, oh no, like, are they going to like do porno stuff to me? And we're like, we're not going to do porno stuff to you. We're just letting you know that you're in a porno. We'll be right back or we won't.
Yeah. This or we won't. We'll be right back or we won't.
I say we'll be right back and you say or we won't.
Or we won't. Yeah. The
or we speak in unison.
We'll say like yeah. Or we could alternate words. Let's see what that sounds
okay.
like.
Okay. We'll
be
right
back
or
we won't.
And then Brett's like, oh God, if that's porno Tom and Julie, we're a regular Tom and Julie. And then he looks behind him and the two of us are like,
or we're just sitting quietly and he's just like, why aren't you? He's like, like, and what he's saying is, why aren't you guys screaming also?
And we're like,
like, he's like, you've been there the whole time. He's like, yeah, but the real Brett was like working on like some big, like prestigious thing for Forever Dog where it'd be like, we reached an agreement with like the like some family friendly thing, like the Dr. Seuss estate or something like that. And now like porn Brett is up there saying like, like in this, well, I've never, there's no way Dr. Seuss will be a part of this network. This is disgusting.
Wait, who's saying that? Brett's like
Dr. Seuss's kid. Dr. Seuss's
is
son.
Dr. Seuss at the, he's at the board meeting.
Well, Dr. Seuss is dead, but his son is
but
there.
He has who, that big hat.
His son is Dentist Seuss because he's a dentist. Dr. Seuss DDS.
He's just Dentist Seuss.
So it's DDS.
No,
Dentist.
It's
just Dentist Seuss.
Dentist Seuss is there. He's got his hat, so you know it's him.
Yes.
His dog is there too. The dog has a hat, but the dog's a service dog, so it's fine.
He's just sitting next to a guy in a Lorax costume that they were going to go up on stage and talk. Let's get out of here, Lorax. This is disgusting. Now spit.
And Lorax is like, oh no. And then you see like you don't know where his hand is.
Yeah. And then Lorax, oh no, fine, you stay. Join their porn network. Fine.
And then
I'm out of here. Now rinse.
The Pornax.
Yes. You're doing Hortentine again.
He's at it again, and he wanted to create the first shirt of the episode.
And there it is.
And there the yeah, Pornax. Congratulations, Brett. You did it again.
Brett.
The first double thread merch of the episode.
Just the Lorax with a goatee, I guess.
They say, I am the Lorax. I speak for the porno.
Somebody over at T Public just ready to jump off a roof because there's 60 shirts coming through.
They're like, every we have week. Oh, great. Another high res tiff.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Awesome.
Oh, great. You sent it. You did, like, they're just hoping for mistakes. Of course he sent it as a TIFF file. This guy gets every order correctly. None of our other, we have to do 10 things to get our customers to get these orders to make sense. This Brett guy is by the book.
He says every week they're in perfect format and each one is dumber than the next.
Yeah. Poor, evil porn Brett.
Porno Brett?
Yeah.
Why do you feel more sorry for Porno Brett than regular Brett in this scenario? Porno Brett's getting what he wants.
He's misunderstood, though.
What is he misunderstood for? What's to understand?
He just loves porn.
Right, so that's, I think I understand him.
Just the way Brett loves podcasting, porn Brett loves porn podcasting. Mm. And he's like, what revolutionized the entertainment industry? Home video. Pornography.
Right.
And that's what podcasting is missing. It actually is what podcasting is missing, is pornography.
Brett.
Serious
Brett.
Question.
Yeah.
Regular Brett.
How many pornography-based podcasts, what's the biggest one that is not like somebody talking about the industry, right. like just straight right. up like porno. Adult entertainment?
You know, it's a untapped genre. I can't think of any off the top of my head. I mean, there's like ASMR stuff, but there's not really straight pornography in podcast form that I can think of. So,
and you know what? I'm not as worried about Brett with this. We can talk about Brett with it. It's Joe. I'm not nuts about. Yeah. He's going to be like
Joe. That's what I was picturing is during this shareholders conference. Porno Brett says porno, and Joe's just like, finally.
Yeah.
Finally, someone said it.
And also, I just want to, as a sidebar, we do every episode of Double Threat, and 80% of the conversation revolves around the Munsters and
yes.
Halloween and monsters yes. and stuff like that. We finally do a Halloween episode. We've said nothing about monsters, neither
monsters nor Munsters.
Yeah, we just start talking about pornography on our Halloween episode.
I'm going to have to go heavy on the spooky sound effects in post to kind of balance this out. Sure.
You could use that on the porno one, too.
What would be the scariest sound to you, Julie? Sound of clomping footsteps come down the hall? Or like a door creaking? What would spook you the most on Halloween Eve?
Probably like ghoulish laughter.
Okay.
Like,
what if somebody was like, help me, help, help? Have you heard that?
I'd be like, oh, please. This city. And I'd shut my door and I'd turn up my music.
What if you heard like a ghostly, only in New York, kids? That's like, is that like, Cindy Adams?
I Google if Cindy Adams is dead 4 times a day.
Wait, she's not?
I didn't say I knew.
Oh, you just never look for the answer.
Well, I haven't done it recently. Should we? Or should we just leave it?
Well, let's get. What's. What do you. I say.
We'll say at the count of three. Ready?
Dead. One, we'll say dead or alive on the count of three.
1, 2, 3.
Alive.
Brett?
It's Brett, New York Post gossip columnist Cindy Adams. Is that fair to say that's her?
Mm hmm.
Job description.
Yep.
The verdict is alive.
Yay!
Man, I think we've rewritten the podcast game today. Because you know this pornography thing. You know that those creeps over.
Say, yeah, at where?
Which podcast network do you think is going to hear us talk about this and then be like, we got to do some pornography? Max Fun?
I was going to say, Max Fun is my, like, that's like, the least likely, I think.
Which is actually a pretty good porn name when you think about it. Max
I was
going to
say, maybe Minimum Fun would.
This movie has Max Fun in it. Oh, he's
good.
Oh,
Max Fun is good. He really has fun when he does it.
So Max Fun would not, Podcast Network would not no, suddenly create a pornography-based podcast.
I do think a man named Max Fun would do it.
What about if Judge John Hodgman suddenly becomes he runs a porn shop and like he sits at like a porn counter, like at the register, and then makes rulings on people's porn purchases.
Someone is like, I want to return this fleshlight. It's broken. Yeah.
And then they have a little trial for the person.
Uh-huh. And the other person, and the only question he asks is, did you fuck it? No.
Each episode's 40 seconds long. So
and it's like, or it's 50 because the person's like, no. And then he's like, are you sure? And he goes, yeah.
Yeah. Okay, I'll make my ruling.
Then you have to keep it.
I'm gonna make my ruling, and it comes back. Ruling is you gotta keep it. No
you
returns.
Keep it. This lube is broken.
And then he's just like, hey, you get out of here. Like every once in a while he yells at someone.
Who's the bailiff?
It'd be Jesse Thorne still.
Porno Jesse Thorne?
So Max Fun, perhaps.
You don't want to talk about porno Jesse Thorne. Interesting.
Jesse Porn?
Jesse Porn, Gross Terry, Max Fun.
So, yeah. So, look, we just wrote their path to pornography.
How did this get laid?
Oh, yeah.
They talk about a porno and they're like,
I mean, what's going on here with this?
Is that Manzoukas?
This is ridiculous.
That's Manzoukas.
I'm trying to watch a porn movie.
What would their complaints be?
This is ridiculous.
Where it's like, there's a poster in the background of like a puppy kissing a kitten, and they're like, why is that there?
Yeah. How did this get laid? I think you just elevated the form with that one, Julie. That is, you answered a lot of questions with one.
I'm actually shocked it doesn't exist, and I want a cut.
Yeah.
Or uncut.
Yeah. Oh my. So that's the Earwolf one would be that, right?
Well, wasn't there like Playboy Radio on Sirius? Remember Playboy had a channel, and I didn't know what that was. If it was ladies being like,
could you just imagine? I can't imagine
taking off my shirt now. Whoops, there goes my underpants. Bath time.
There goes my underpants. Whoops, there goes my underpants.
Hasta la vista, khakis.
Yeah. Yeah.
Adios, Brazier.
So, what other networks?
What are
other podcasts?
Well, I mean, I know you mentioned NPR. I mean, NPR, I think, is going really hard on the listener drives lately. They're a little cash strapped, so maybe this is a way they could.
It's a great idea.
Maybe this is a way to revitalize their programming.
Yeah. Wait. Don't tell me.
Wait. Don't fuck.
Wait.
Me.
Wait. Don't come yet.
Like, Brett, that was so dirty. That was porno Brett talking now.
That was porno Brett.
Wait, don't come yet. Tom, we have to unpack this. I know that it's in your nature to like want to like move on, but I don't think we should.
Yeah, we can move on. It's fine.
I know that's what you think. And I know that's what Tom's instincts are.
No, Tom, now I feel like Hal in 2001. Like I'm just like I was like I feel I've never felt more like Hal. Dr. Langley built me.
Oh, I'm the opposite. I feel like I'm Jack Nicholson on the other side of the door with the axe.
Yeah. You're in full showtime.
I'm just like, don't come yet.
Yeah, and I'm like,
is that what the guy's telling himself when he's in the porno? Probably.
Yeah, it's an interior monologue.
Otherwise, it's like the porn host's watching it and telling themselves that, which is so much worse.
What if this is a chance for us, because we want to elevate the form and get as much exposure for the show at the same time. Can this possibly be us auditioning to host the AVN Awards? Like,
it's a great idea.
What if there was two things? Because like what if there was like the Evian Awards, which was like the water-based awards? To get it right, like just like the bottled water awards.
We
like,
think we're auditioning for the Evian Awards, but we get.
What if there's three of them? There's the Avian Awards, which is birds.
Birds.
Then there's the Evian Awards, and then there's the AVN Awards, and we host all three.
Right, or we audition for all three, and we're like, I'm
all three in Vegas, and we host cuckoo. All three of them in one night.
I'm cuckoo for two things: water and dicks.
Guys, we decided to we're tripling up on this. Everybody get into the main ballroom. We're doing all three award shows the same night.
Yeah, it's COVID, so we only have one shot.
Yeah. This is a super spreader event. I just want to let everybody know. It's herd mentality. It's a super spreader event. So wrap your heads around that. Everybody, welcome to the 2021 Avian AVN Awards.
With your hosts, Tom Sharpling and Julie Klausner.
And then we have to do a song that like covers all three subject matters.
Absolutely.
Dun, 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 dun.
Porn,
birds,
birds,
water.
And then so they alternate categories. So it's like the nominees for best bird are.
Yeah.
And that was foolish. It should be more specific. It should be loudest bird, biggest bird. Mm-hmm. Silliest bird and best woodpecker.
Yeah, and scariest bird.
Scariest bird.
And then just a hawk flies in.
To accept the award. Well, that's the other question is who's in the audience?
It's birds. The audience is one third birds, one third water enthusiasts, and one third adult actors.
Okay, so those are the bird categories. What are the water categories?
Just fans of water, like
no, like coldest water,
cleanest, coldest.
Yeah.
What about waviest? And the winner is the ocean.
Yeah. Saltiest, and the winner is salt water. Get up here.
Get up here, salt water.
Get up here, USOB.
Get us here, USOB. You won best gargle last year.
And we have to do Lifetime Achievement Awards all at once. Fine. We're going to do all three Lifetime Achievement Awards at once. Let's bring up
the like last dinosaur or like, what's like the oldest bird? Like an albatross from like the Galapagos Islands or something? Or
we got a chicken.
Oh, okay, chicken.
A bucket of water.
What about, wouldn't it be like a well?
Yeah.
Do you think a well would win the Lifetime Achievement Award and then they had to like uproot the well and put it on a dolly? So like,
yeah. And then,
but that basically kills the well.
Then we start pulling a bucket up out of the well and Ron Jeremy was in the well. He comes up like There Will Be Blood style.
Wearing
like literally
his,
like the devil coming
orange
from
jumpsuit. Yeah. He's got his Hannibal Lecter mask on. If anybody should be like given that Hannibal Lecter treatment in prison right now, it's Ron Jeremy.
Yeah. Not good. I think we figured a lot of things out on this Halloween episode of Double Threat.
One more thing about our AVN banter.
Oh, look, I could talk about this for the next 6 hours. Don't think I'm trying to get away from this by any stretch.
I think it would be great if, like, every category we have, like, sex is healthy, but it's also a lot of fun. The nominees for most fun had in a living room scene are, and then we're like, water is healthy, but it's also really tasty.
Yeah.
We're like, birds are cool, but they're also really nice. The nominees for nicest bird
are a dove.
Then they have a clip of like a dove like flying out of a box at a wedding.
Yeah, exactly. A turtle dove.
And then the turtle dove's just like cooing.
A vulture.
The vulture's just
vulture's
like,
not going to win.
But they do have a clip of the vulture like about to fly at a corpse and then sees the camera and like gives a little cock of the head and smiles and winks. What about the nominees for fakest bird are Tweety?
Yeah. Foghorn Leghorn.
And this bird I just made up, his name is Jooby Dooby.
Yeah. And Jooby Dooby.
And then it's like the only thing better than water is water with bubbles.
Yeah.
The nominees for best
carbonated water
are seltzer,
club soda,
and sparkling water,
and tonic. And the winner is
never wins. Tonic's never won.
Get up here, you SOB. Seltzer, you did it again. Well, we have quite a show today, right?
Oh yeah.
Julie, do you know who's gonna check in with us later?
I heard it, but I don't believe it. Brett told us midweek. And I think you're being withholding of praise is working.
Yeah, I want him to earn it. I'm like Whistler in the Blade movies, as played by Kris Kristofferson.
It really worked because I know last week, you know, you were cautious about giving me too much praise, and then I was like, man, I really gotta go out there and prove that I'm, you know, worthy of this job, and so I looked up. Butch Patrick, who played Eddie Munster in The Munsters.
And by like, the way, we did not ask him to do that. I want to make sure you guys know that Brett did this on his own initiative. He took a big swing, and then he came back to us being like, I booked Butch Patrick. And we're just like, what? Oh, my God. Yeah, and it's one of those things where, like, you shouldn't have to ask, like, oh, do you want breakfast in bed? It's like, no, you surprise your lover on their birthday with breakfast in bed, and they're like, oh, my God.
Yeah. This guy, in a week when all these spook guests are running in higher demand than they've ever been, this guy goes and gets us one of the big fish, Eddie Munster. Eddie F and Munster. This guy gets EFM.
EFM.
He gets Eddie F and Munster is going to be on the show. BFP, Butch F and Patrick.
Brett.
For Halloween week, I mean, this is kind huge. Of as big as it gets. Yeah,
huge.
And for those of you who don't know,
Butch Patrick played Eddie Munster on The Munsters, and he was also the lead in a wonderful show called Lidsville.
Yeah. He is a Hollywood legend, a horrorwood legend,
and a Holly, whoa, it's Halloween legend.
Yeah. And he is going to be on Double Threat. And Brett, if this happens,
yeah,
I still have my doubts.
Well, I'll believe it when I scream it.
When it happens, after it happens, Brett, kudos like you've never seen before. You're not gonna know what to do with all the praise you're gonna get.
Yeah,
I still can't give it to you yet. I still don't believe it's happening.
What happens if Butch bails? Is that
I think it would be
end of the road for me, or
I think it would be funnier. I think it'd be better.
Yeah,
I think it'd be so funny if he does.
That's not the end of the road for you, Brett. That's the beginning of a long road for you.
The long and winding, Brett.
Bum, 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 bum.
He's Brett.
Butch didn't show.
Tom, guess what?
What's that?
We have a very exciting guest. I am so excited. I thought Brett was lying to us, but he was not.
No, this is thrilling.
So exciting.
Let's welcome to the show from The Munsters, Butch Patrick.
Butch Patrick is here.
Hi, guys. Nice to be here. How y'all doing?
We're good. How are you?
I'm fine. I'm here in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, in the middle of my Tennessee Halloween tour.
Sure. Is every October a thing for you? How long has that been going on?
This year, yes. Usually it's always a slam dunk month. This year's been a little bit, kind of the first half, not so much, but the second half, we're making up for lost time. So, yeah. And
okay.
I'm doing Pigeon Forge, and I'm heading to Memphis and then finishing up in Nashville.
All right. Well, that's exciting. You get to get out there and you what do? You sign autographs and do stuff like that?
The Memphis stop is a help small businesses reopen tour. And then I'm going to do a Rocky Horror Picture Show Shadow Act, where I'll be the special guest. And then Memphis is the House of Cards, premier new magic club in the country. And I've been their resident Halloween host. This will be my third year straight since they opened.
Oh, that's this awesome.
These are great gigs. I don't have any gigs like this.
Well, you know, it's funny. The House of Cards is the gentleman that was Johnny Cash's lifelong partner and friend moved to Nashville to open up the Johnny Cash Museum. And once he got to Nashville, he just started more and more and more properties. So it's really cool. But the fun thing about this, it's the only night of the year when it's not a dress code, tie and coat, is Halloween. So we always have a great time.
Good, good. That's awesome. Now, Butch, you actually, you're in Tennessee, and I don't know where you're living these days, but you were like a Hollywood kid, right? You started off pretty young.
Yeah, I grew up in Los Angeles in the South Bay area, about 20 miles from Hollywood. Yes.
And do you remember, how old were you when you landed the Munsters?
39.
No way.
No, they used to call
me a 39-year-old midget because I was too adult-like for my size, but I was 11 and 12.
You were very poised. It's true that you were very poised.
Yeah. It was a fun show, but I like to think that they started writing a lot more scripts featuring Eddie because I could handle the dialogue and I got along well with the adults, so it worked out pretty well.
Sure. And you guys, one thing we talk about on this show is like usually, you know, network sitcoms will do 22 episodes tops now. And there's a lot of shows that are 10 episodes, eight, six will be a season.
14 comes to mind around now.
Yeah. What were you guys doing?
Pathetic, right, Butch? Pathetic.
Well, it's a whole different world. But back in the day when we were doing them, we worked 39 episodes a year. The second year, because of Fred's health and he was... it was winding down. We only did 31 the second year, but it was very typical to do 39 episodes a year back then.
So 39 episodes means how many episodes did you shoot? Was it one a week?
One a week.
Was it more?
Yeah, just one a week.
And when those scripts rolled in, what was that like? Because it must have been like an assembly line, just boom, boom, boom.
We had a routine. It was a pretty easy, actually, it wasn't a difficult week, at least in my opinion. Monday was a very easy day. Go to the producer's office, read through the script, maybe take an hour and a half to 2 hours to go through it. The adults would go home. I would go to school for 3 hours. Tuesday, we would rehearse on stage for the directors. We had different directors a lot, so they would rehearse about 3 to 4 hours on Tuesday. Again, I would be in school 3 more hours. And then Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday were shoot days and makeup. But in the summertime, when I wasn't in school for 3 hours, those would be the weeks that they would give me the Eddie scripts that featured Eddie a lot more because it gave them an extra 9 hours to put me on camera.
How long did it take for you guys to get into makeup?
I was an hour. Fred was 2 hours. Everybody else was in between.
He was only 2 hours?
Yeah. Wow. At first, when we first did it, it was like an hour and a half. But once we figured it all out, it was only about an hour. Yeah, it wasn't too bad.
Now, Al Lewis, can I just ask about Al Lewis, somebody who's a hero to me in terms of just, he's one of these guys who was, nobody danced to the beat of their own drum more than that guy did in terms of life. And he was such a character in New York.
It was an interesting dynamic, both, you're correct with Al, but Fred and Al were lifelong friends, and yet they were totally opposites as far as their lifestyle. Fred was very reserved and Harvard educated and Broadway trained where Al was vaudeville circus and outlandish goings-ons and over the top craziness and zaniness, but together they created quite a comedy team.
Are some of your favorite scenes with Al? Can you look back and say, like, oh man, this is my favorite story because I got to spend most of the episode with Al? Or
yeah, we did some of the episodes, but one of the ones I liked and enjoyed with Al was when we were doing the boxing thing and he's teaching me how to box, you know, down in the dungeon. And, you know, I'm supposed to say, look, there's a teacher. And then Herman comes down. I go, look, there's my father. He goes, not my father, a teacher. And I go, you want to bet? Then I punch him in the stomach. Oh! And then also the one with when he built the Dragula to go to the drag strip in the episode of Hot Rod Herman was a good one.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Because those guys worked on Car 54, and now they're like showbiz veterans. This is your first big gig, and what kind of things were they teaching you, or were you picking up from them?
Well, you know, a couple things with Fred. I'd actually worked 4 years prior to the Munsters. I did two other series, Real McCoy's and General Hospital, but the Munsters was my probably it evolved in being the most. Dialogue because they love the dynamic of Fred being so tall and childlike and Eddie being so short and adult-like that they started playing up the scripts on that to where the teacher became the student and vice versa. But give me an example. There was an episode where it was called The Musician where I took a potion to learn how to play the trumpet. And I not only learned how to play the trumpet, I became like a beatnik type of thing. And you know, I'm 11 years old, so I don't really understand what a beatnik whole thing is. So Fred would explain to me about the, hey, baby, me and my horn are going to catch a jet and go to Vegas and get us a lounge act. Scooby-Doo, you know? Uh-huh. So those were the scenes where Fred taught me a lot about acting, where the other time Al, behind the scenes, taught me a lot about life. So it was a nice balance.
What do you mean he taught you about life, Butch? Expand upon that a little, please.
Oh, my God. He was, he was very outgoing, outspoken his whole life. And he was against the suits. The producers were the enemy. And, you know, he would, you know, take me aside and kind of do sports and life and this and that. It just, you know, he was just more of a, like a real grandfather would be to a grandson, you know. And, right. And at the time, my whole family wasn't living in California. They were living in Washington, D.C., and I hired a woman to take me to work while I lived with my uncle. So I really, my family unit that I was hanging around with was my TV family.
Sure, sure. What is that schooling like when they do the on-set schooling? What was that like?
Schooling is 3 hours a day, one-on-one, unless you're on a show that like the Brady's or something where you have multiple kids. But me, I was the only kid at Universal regularly. There was no other series out there that featured a kid, so I was pretty much the only kid on the whole lot unless we had guest stars, which wasn't that often. So I was okay with it. I got my 3 hours one-on-one, and if you're a good student, you can move along at your own pace. And I very rarely took homework home because I could do it in class before I left, and it was good because really when I went home I had to read my scripts and get prepared for the next day. But I enjoyed it. I was okay with one-on-one, but I had a nice balance after the show. I went back into public schools. So I, you know, was in and out of public schools, and I also lived in small towns with my grandmother in the fifth grade and the eighth grade, which are, you know, kind of pivotal years in a young guy's life. You know, you're just coming in, you're on at five, and I mean, in the fifth grade when you're about 11, and then in the eighth grade, you know, you're starting to get, you know, interested in girls and cars and all that kind of stuff.
You know, it is one of the most amazing things is so many people get one show that is like this iconic thing that everybody remembers generation after generation. You have two.
We're going to talk about Lidsville, Butch.
Lidsville, you know, it is the kookiest.
And it was the living end, friend.
It was, man. And if you ever get a chance to go there, you'll be glad you did. Because everybody that goes to Lidsville really flips his lid. I'm in the parking lot. No, it's okay. Go on.
They're like, honk if you see someone talking about Lidsville.
Lidsville came about. I didn't want to do Lidsville. I was like,
why not?
I'm in high school. I just had did a movie in Brazil that was supposed to put me over the top and make me a movie star, and it got shelved because of a bitter divorce, Hollywood divorce between the producer and his wife, Rhonda Fleming. So I went from this, Academy Award nomination thing to Lidsville, and I felt it was like a step down, and I didn't want to do it. But my friends in high school, the Cowsills, said, you never turn down work. It's only 11 weeks. It's on Saturday morning. None of your friends will ever see it. What are you worried about? It's a good paycheck. And then after I did it, I was really happy I did it because, number one, I got to work with a bunch of great people. All the little people in the hats I knew personally because they had been my stand-ins and stunt doubles as I was growing up.
Oh,
and
really?
Sid and Marty became good friends. And then I started seeing all the work they did and how much geniuses they were. And also Charles Nelson Reilly and Billy Hayes were great and Sharon Baird. So I really had it was a summer of 71. It was a very interesting turning 18 experience.
Yeah. And Charles Nelson Reilly, what is that like to work with Charles Nelson Reilly?
What was your relationship like with him?
Charles was a handful. He was very much loved the character Hoodoo, hated the makeup, and thought it was very uncomfortable. And I used to tell him, I did this for 2 years.
Stop whining.
You can get through 11 weeks. Quit whining. But the show was cutting edge at the time. It was live. We had three cameras. We did 17, 18 pages a day instead of three or four. We also had chroma key, which was kind of a brand new invention where they could superimpose people onto a green screen. Mm-hmm. We had a situation where the director was on another sound stage and he was directing with a God mic from monitors. So there wasn't any hands-on stuff. So it was a very awkward, interesting new thing for me. But but it was Paramount Studios. I enjoyed Paramount. I had friends out there. The Bradys were filming at the same time. We were on the sound stage at Happy Days took over when we left. And so it was all good.
Did you know when you were doing it that it was trippy and that it was a little bit druggy or no?
No, it was funny when they convinced me to do it because I turned them down twice. And then finally Sid took me out and explained to me that, we made Jack Wilde a star. And I said, no, let's just put things straighter. Jack Wilde had been an Academy Award nomination for Oliver. He was already a star when you got a hold of him. True, Puff and Stuff made him, it's a great show. Everybody loved it. Everybody remembers it. And they remember it a lot more than Lidsville. But I actually really did the show. What sold me on it was I saw a picture of Caroline Ellis from the Bugaloos. And I thought,
okay,
will she be around?
Okay.
So if I get the chance to meet her, you got a deal.
That might be Al Lewis. That might be you listening to your grandpa there with life advice.
Yeah, that's Al. Yeah. Al's definitely. He was a wild man when it came to everything. He used to judge Miss Nude World. He was a judge.
I was never eligible for that because I'm not a Miss. I'm a Ms. Butch, tell us about some of I'm curious about some of the memories that you have of like your favorite episodes or are there things that went wrong that you could share with us on the Munsters?
The thing is, here was the best part about it. When I finished my book, Munster Memories, my editor said, okay, what's your favorite memory? Because it was all about people's memories of the show. I said, the Munsters was actually my job and I enjoyed it. And I had fond memories of being there, but my best memories of that 2 year window was when I had free time. And I was the only kid on the lot and I could go explore. I mean, what do little kids like to do? 12-year-old little boys, they like to go explore. That's what we do. What's that? So I had this entire studio at my disposal. And when I had free time, I made good use of it. And I saw a lot of great stuff and I saw a lot of interesting studios. I mean, a lot of interesting sound stages being built. Major movie stars next door. The Phantom of the Opera soundstage was on Universal lot, which was like the largest soundstage in the world. And I'd go visit the lagoon, we'd go see McHale's Navy with Tim and Ernie, or go visit my grandfather, my uncle, who was supplying horses to the Westerns. We had wagon train, the Virginian, Laredo. So it was a lot going on. It was great.
Wow.
Who over the years is a surprising person you've met that is a huge fan of Munsters or Lidsville?
Ooh, the Munsters, Lidsville, I can't actually speak to. People like Lidsville.
Oh no.
Oh no. Oh, come back, no. Butch. Butch, no. Come back.
No.
No. Butch.
No. He said it was a good question. And we lost him. Oh, here we go.
We lost you. We got very upset.
So you said
Evel Knievel, McCartney, John Paul, the Beatles in general were big fans, but Paul McCartney,
all four
especially,
Beatles. Wow.
And Rob Zombie and Howard Stern. It's amazing how much of a fan base the Munsters has to this day, musically, the Boston Pops, the Boston, London Philharmonic, Brian Setzer opens up his Christmas show with it. Fallout Boy just had a huge hit. She wants to dance like Uma Thurman. It's timeless. Every garage band and major band in the world knows the riff, you know, knows the theme. It's crazy. It's all good, too. And kids today that are introduced to it love it. So I know we're going to be around for a long time. And the toys and the licenses and the issues of hats and caps and stuff, every year is new stuff. And the theme is always going to be the Munsters because it's got good, strong family values.
And we got to mention, too, by the way, that Butch is wearing a Munsters cap and a Munsters shirt.
Now, where can you get those?
Oh, okay. We were based on the Universal Monsters, so it's close.
Yeah. Now, you, Julie and I talk a lot about how it was like, because you had the Munsters, you had the Addams Family. Addams Family is like a white collar family, kind of like.
We think they're snooty, and the Munsters are like real.
Well, you know, it's funny. I tell people that, well, number one, it was a great friendly rivalry. Had we been up head to head against each other, maybe not so much. But because we were Thursday and they were Friday, even though you preferred one or the other, there's a very good chance you watched both. So we were good for each other. As far as the identification, I've coined a little term. I go, the Addams Family were people who acted like monsters, and the Munsters were monsters that acted like people.
Well, that makes perfect sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
But the Munsters are better, right?
The Munsters was very family, regular. Yeah, they were blue collar, regular. They would leave it to Beaver with makeup.
They didn't come from New Yorker cartoon.
No, the Addams Families were eccentric. They were eccentric, dark humor. The Munsters were very middle America, leave it to Beaver with makeup. Because the producers of the show had done Leave it to Beaver.
Sure, sure. Now, Butch, you've done music, you've done voiceover stuff. You've done so many things. What is still one dream for Butch Patrick that is still?
Well, what I'm doing next year is pretty much controlling my own destiny. I travel a lot anyway, and I have a Munster coach and a Dragula, and I'm kind of a gearhead, and I enjoy cars. But what I'm doing next year is I'm going to get a big motor home, a big diesel. I've had motor homes in the past. I had a Grateful Dead tour bus, but I'm going to get a new a big diesel pusher. I'm going to drive around the country with my Munster coach in tow, and I'm going to go into RV parks all over the country, and I'm going to obviously introduce myself to everybody in the park, and they're going to get to know me, and I'm going to get to know them. But I'm going to let them know that my YouTube channel is all about Americana and the stories of everybody that's in the RV lifestyle, what brought them to this spot in their life. And I want to do a story about interviewing the average American RVer and the stories of their life. Not political, not red, not blue, just American red, white, and blue down the middle. And I'm going to do like Charles Carralt used to be. I used to love the Charles Carralt. I don't know if you know who Charles Carralt
is.
Sure.
Yes.
On the Road was my favorite show when I was a kid. And my grandmother and I drove all over the country on the road. So I'm going to do a YouTube channel featuring the stories of the average guy living the dream on the road. And then I'm going to be interviewing them, and they're going to tell all their friends about it. It's going to be great. And by the end of the year, I'm going to have friends all over the country that I don't have today that I can then go visit and do my bucket list of interesting things. You know, like this year I drove an Indy car and I flew in a B-17, and I want to do a lot more fun stuff. And all these people that I'm going to interview them, I guarantee you, they're going to say, oh my God, you got to come see me. If you get into my hometown, I got a friend or my brother-in-law or somebody he knows is going to have something interesting to do. And that's my plan.
Oh, that is an awesome way to spend next year.
That's what I'm doing.
So glad you've got that planned out.
And Butch, if you're going around with your Munster coach, you're obviously very. Was there ever a time when you were like, oh, I'm gonna play it, you know, low key that I was Eddie Munster, were you always proud of it? Were you always like happy to, you know, play that part when people wanted to meet you and take a photo and everything?
Not so much after the show and not so much after Lidsville, but in 1982, when MTV came on the air, on 81 or so, we would decide to do rock videos. And when I did Eddie and the Monsters and we got on MTV, and it sort of rebirthed and Al Lewis, you know, actually helped me by going out and helping the band. I was on the West Coast, he was on the East Coast. But when MTV came on the air and we did it, whatever happened to Eddie, and all the conventions were just starting up then, all the big Comic Cons and all the fan-driven promoters started wanting the Munsters to come out to help the attendance. They wanted a family-friendly show. That's when I started getting comfortable with being Eddie Munster again. And I found it to be a really great place to be. And with Al and Pat Priest, we found that the fan base was great. And it was really a positive energy flow. So when we go do it, it was fun. It was somewhat lucrative. It was a new frontier. But that's when I started feeling comfortable doing it again.
That's awesome. And did your hand at the end of the day, do you just put it in a bucket of ice and you soak that hand because you're signed so many autographs?
Purell.
I've never really been that popular.
No, come on.
No, stop.
But I have had a good solid run at it, and it's been very good to me. And the fact that I found a niche with my cars and allows me to go about the racetracks and drag strips and IndyCar racing and NASCAR. And it's interesting because most of the celebrities, they don't really have their own vehicle representative of their show. But I do, and I found a niche that I'm really happy with, and I'm very excited about the YouTube channel. It's called Coach to Coast, spelled with a K, K-O-A-C-H-T-O-K-O-A-S-T. And I had no idea that the YouTube channels could be so lucrative if they're successful. So I'm telling them up front when I do this interview that you're helping me get a monetization into a YouTube channel that's going to allow me to do next year, go internationally and go see the world as well. So this is my little dream that I'm doing and meeting and greeting people, but doing it on a channel. And I'm sure it's going to be super successful because everybody loves the Munsters.
Yeah. No, this is very exciting. And it's our privilege to have you on the show. And
Thank
we appreciate
you.
It. We know how busy you are, especially this time of year. So we appreciate it.
Oh.
And, one more question, Butch.
Sure. No problem.
Did you have to spirit gum that wig on? And did you ever get a rash in like the witch's peak of your head?
No, it was spirit gum though. You're correct on that note. And luckily for us, we had 4 days off. So we, from Saturday through Tuesday, our skin could recover. And that was not too bad for me. And it allowed my skin, my hair was slicked back with Depp. I had two big handfuls of Depp every morning, and it was like a helmet. So at the end of the day, I'd have to crack it open and get my hair, and my hair looked like straw after 3 days of that, and then it would recover as well. But it was all right. It was part of the job.
Do you remember ever breaking in the scene where like Fred Gwynne would do something and make you laugh, and you'd break in the middle, and you'd have to?
No,
like,
we
are
didn't
there any
do
outtakes,
that.
Or you were just a total pro?
Well, back then, it was very expensive. It was on film, and a lot of times we had to rehearse. And if there was any laughter, you would get it out of you by the time during the rehearsals.
Right.
And because it was, you know, number one, you know, very, very rarely was it my fault that we had to redo a take. Occasionally, of course, but very, very rarely, no more than any other adult, maybe even less because I was more concerned about it. But no, it really didn't happen very often. But we would laugh our butts off on Monday morning reading the script, knowing how funny it was going to be.
Sure. You got it out of your system.
Yep.
Well, Butch, we know you're a busy guy, and we appreciate you taking the time to come on Double Threat. And everybody, go check out Butch's YouTube channel.
Go to Munsters.com. If you can't remember Coach to Coast or anything else, if you go to Munsters.com, that will lead you down the path to my schedule, to the store, to anything else you might want to know, Munsters.com.
And I've just got to say, on behalf of all Munsters fans and all human beings, thank you for contributing to a show that is so goofy and has brought so many people so much pleasure. And we very much appreciate you being a part of it.
Oh, that's very kind of you to say. And I was very lucky as a kid. And believe me, I appreciate it. And I'm very, very, very grateful for what it's done for me.
Well, I'm glad you're doing it. And we appreciate you doing it here. So thank you so much, Butch Patrick.
God bless you, Butch Patrick.
Yes. Signing off from Pigeon Forge. Come on.
Yes.
Happy Halloween.
Take care.
God damn it, Brett. You did it again.
Brett, you motherfucking cocksucker.
You got him.
He's in SOB.
He's in Pigeon Forge. You got
God him. God damn motherfucking piece of shit.
Guy's trying to do his... Brett gets this guy. This is Halloween. What's Butch Patrick's schedule like in October?
It's chock-a-block.
Wall-to-wall
chock-a-block, bumper to fucking bumper.
Yeah. Now, Brett gets this guy to call in.
Brett, you motherfucker. You bitchy little bastard. You naughty stinker.
Pains me to say these three words I'm about to say. Great job.
Great job, Brett.
Yes. Breathing a huge sigh of relief right now.
Now, Brett. I'm spiraling out right now with pleasure. Waves of joy. What were you going to say?
I was going to say, Brett, this is what you do. Tonight, you have a great night. Maybe you get drunk. Maybe you get high. You spark up a little bit of God's green herb, right?
Okay, great.
Maybe a little ketamine, right? Get the party started right.
Switch up the cats where like one is like you call one the other's name or something.
Yeah, you just go crazy. But tomorrow you're back at it. You wake up 6 a.m. You're back at it.
6 a.m. That's Pacific time?
That's my time.
Okay, so 3 a.m.
Yeah.
Rocky style, you crack a dozen eggs and you drink them like Rocky did. Did you ever see that scene? Have you seen Rocky, Julie?
No, but I know that he cracks eggs and eats them raw.
He just pours them in a glass before he goes and runs. If I was to do that, my training montage would be, bum, 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 I crack the eggs, drink them, bum, 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 hit the street, bum, 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 like I'd get a third of the way up the block and I'd be on my hands and knees throwing up in the middle of a Philadelphia street, barfing my guts out.
I really want to watch a montage of you drinking eggs and throwing them up.
Could you imagine? So then, but here's Brett.
By the way, can I just say that even if they were cooked, I would throw up.
Oh yeah. No, a dozen cooked eggs would be. What would you rather have? A dozen raw eggs to drink, or a dozen cooked eggs in a glass that you had to try to drink?
I'm not engaging in this hypothetical.
All right.
It's like, which one of your parents would you rather have sex with? I'm not playing this game. It's sick.
That's a fair thing. It is sick. It is sick. When you phrase it like that, it's sick. When you put it like that, it's sick.
What are you, porno Tom?
No, I'm not.
Porno Tom's got some egg what ifs.
So here's
some egg you rathers.
What if we do this, Julie? Mm. Now that we've seen what Brett's made of, what if we throw a challenge at him for like who's the next get to see? Let's see how good this guy is.
Well, the truth of the matter is, I think part of what was so exhilarating about this booking is that that he did it on his own volition and just told us later.
Yeah.
So I would kind of say the ball's in his court right now. Yeah. That's like, wow us.
Well, what if it's three? What if there's three things? One from you, one from me, and Brett's got to dazzle us with a third one.
A wild card. Yeah.
This is who I want to challenge you to get on the show, Brett. The kid who plays Skip in Lost in America. The kid who managed the Wiener Schnitzel.
Uh-huh. Yep.
In one scene.
That's a good one.
And he's like, that's why I hired her. That's why I married her. That's why I hired her.
My challenge is, I want you to get, and I know these are all child actors, but whatever, we're on a roll. Emily Shulman, who I was often confused for as a young lady and today on occasion, who played the nosy neighbor Harriet on Small Wonder. And she also was in Troop Beverly Hills. And I want to know if she looks at all like me today.
Okay, so that name one more time was Emily Shulman?
Shulman, yeah. S-C-H-U-L-M-A-N.
I like how Brett writes this down now as if he's not going to spend 12 hours editing the show later. He could write it down from the editing process.
Or is that thing when you're on the phone with like someone at customer service, and they're like, okay, are you ready for your order number? And you're like, sure. And they're like, 75L. You're like, uh-huh.
Yeah. Yeah. You're here's your confirmation number.
Okay, I'm ready.
HP47.
Uh-huh.
661626.
I'm like entering my name into Google. Yeah. I'm like, exactly. Julie Klausner weight loss? ? Play us something that a listener sent in.
Yeah, we can do one quick one and then I'll save the other ones for later.
Is that okay, Tom?
Yeah. And I'm telling you, you better never, this is a warning right now to you. You better never play me that cereal video, that pour the milk in the bowl, the cereal thing. Did people sent that thing around on, and I it was the like worst two, thing I ever saw in my life.
I saw 2 seconds of it and I said, nope. I said, yeah, right.
And I'm telling you, if you ever play that cereal video.
It's the new season of cereal.
The new season of cereal should be the murder of the people that made that video.
I murder all those people. Well, it'd be the murder. It'd be like, who did it? Everyone's a suspect. Everyone who watched it is a suspect.
Everyone is a suspect who watched the wacky TikTok, do you pour the milk in the bowl first? And first of all, what kind of maniac pours the milk in the bowl first?
It's like adding the ice after you pour the soda.
The whole thing it makes no sense because then you'd just be like, how much milk? You put the milk in when you see when the cereal moves. It's the whole point of you pouring in.
The cereal's going to float if you put the, makes me sick.
Because then you're going back, I didn't put enough milk in. I put too much cereal in. I got to add more. Ay, ay, ay. If you ever play that video.
Ay, 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 we will be so mad.
Now, there's nothing good about that video. I wouldn't do that to you.
So, Brett, what do we have? Have listeners sent us anything?
Yeah, we got a lot of great clips the past couple of weeks, a lot of great sort of spooky Halloween-y clips. You guys were talking about the Monster Mash earlier in the show, and it made me remember that listener Christopher sent us a recording of the sequel to the Monster Mash that Bobby Pickett did. Called The Monster Swim. The sequel to The Monster Mash called The Monster Swim.
Is this the one about climate change? Because I think he also... Wait, what? Wait, hold on. Before we watch The Monster Swim, which is already giving me night terrors, would you just look up... What's his name? Bobby Pickett?
Bobby Boris Pickett, yeah.
Please Google Monster Mash climate change. Alex Gordella's told me about this. He's like, I'm not sure if I dreamt this, but I think he did a song about climate change called like the
climate mash. got it here.
What should we listen to first? The climate mash or the monster swim?
I think you got to go chronologically here. I think it's
okay. Let's
swim
start with
then,
the monster
then,
swim.
So this guy had a smash hit with Monster Mash, and then he's like, what do I do now?
Tom. He had a graveyard smash hit.
I apologize. He had a graveyard smash hit. And then he was like, what's next, Bobby Boris Pickett? And he's like,
gentlemen, Bobby Pickett.
My name is Boris. Back in 62, the Crypt Kickers and I brought the Monster Mash to you. But now it's a different bag, and mashing is a drag. When the lights grow dim, we now do the Monster Swim. All you would-be monsters, come on in. Boris is going to show you how to Monster Swim. Like the zombie, but not so slow. A lot like the grave digger, but not so low. We can't do the monkey or even the dog, cause they've both been eaten by the blob. It's a poolside smack. It's bigger than the man. Here we are swimming under the pool.
Can you hit please? Yeah, please. Can you just like, if I ever, if I'm asking you as a friend, Julie, now, if I'm ever in a position, a monster swim position in my life where I'm milking a thing far past when I should, and I'm the last one to realize that it's done. And everybody else is like, oh boy.
Will I bring the prop octopus behind you? Yes.
Just play Monster Swim for. No, just tell me your Monster Swim in this one. Like, I think your Monster Swim in it. Like, if I'm ever running a thing so far into the ground or not getting that, like, party's over, dude. Ugh. This is so depressing.
I love it. Bobby Pickett, but do you know what I mean? Like, is there something wrong with him?
He's first of all, he's in a suit.
Like a Rod Serling style, like skinny tie, like a.
Yeah. Like, nice suit. Uh-huh. Nice clean cut.
Slick back hairstyle and.
Yeah.
Tie pin.
He looks like a professional guy.
And then he's making these facial expressions that make like Mickey Dolenz acting like he's turning into a werewolf, like seem very, very subtle.
Yeah. Then he's doing this twitchy eyebrow stuff and is just like
he looks like there's something wrong with him.
All right, let's know you. What is the other one? A climate change Bobby
Pickett
thing?
I want to
watch
the whole thing of Monster Swim. Okay. Because by the way, one more thing about Monster Swim. He's not swimming. Like there's no when he's like, let's do the Monster Swim, he acts like Frankenstein.
Yeah.
There's something wrong with him.
And you wanna wanna see Frankenstein in a pool?
I kind of do now that
I've seen Frankenstein. Look, Frankenstein splashed around in Bride of Frankenstein. He splashes around in some low bodies of water, and he's a buffoon and he's incompetent in it.
Are you sure you don't want to see Frankenstein fall into a pool?
Yeah, maybe I would. I would want to see Frankenstein fall off like the high board at a pool would be pretty
or
amazing.
Just like at the Playboy Mansion, everyone's partying near the pool, and he just keeps walking and falls in.
He electrocutes all the Frankenstein go to grotto. Oh, get strangled by monster in the grotto.
He electrocutes David Spade in the jacuzzi.
James Caan. Don Adams. So exciting to meet
Hef.
Jimmy Caan.
Where's Hef?
At Playboy. Hef's not here. No Hef. Also, picture this. Do you know where the original Playboy Mansion was? Chicago.
No.
What's that like? Whoa. Oh, yeah. Yeah, it's September and it's freezing out. Oh. Like, that move to L.A. must have been that was the smart move to make for Hef. Where's Hef? Hef's actually at a business meeting in New York. No, Hef! No, Frankenstein, no! Yeah, Frankenstein just killed Don Adams. Frankenstein just strangled Bjorn Borg.
Why? Oh, Hef wasn't there that night.
Yeah, so really intense scene. Jimmy JJ Walker just got thrown off of
his limbs were ripped off.
Yeah, he's got his arm ripped off. Oh, where's Hef?
Oh my God. You see that it's like the late 80s. You see like John Lovitz and a bunch of other like sleazy people with like torches chasing him.
Yeah. John Lovitz, Andrew Dice Clay chasing Frankenstein. All right. Should we listen to
what happened, Brett? Where'd you go?
Oh, I'm still here. I was going to queue up the climate change
yes,
song.
Yes, let's watch the climate match.
Okay, here we go.
Okay, great. So here is Boris Pickett doing the climate mash.
Milk or cereal first?
What are you doing? Are you Rickrolling us?
Opinion, but there's no competition.
Yes, sorry, I don't know how that happened. I can't turn it off. Before you even
touch that cereal, Brett.
Oh, Brett, no, please.
I'm sorry, I'm trying to turn it off.
You
it won't go
are
off,
Rickrolling but. Us.
That it spends without them, it gets really sad. So when you pour it in empty, that's the sound of a baby bird falling out of a nest to the ground. But when the milk's already been poured, it's the dad picking up his kid, tells the divorce. So pour in your cereal first, you do you, but you're the one giving it.
I don't know
trust
if I just pulled the plug
the
on the computer or what.
No, Brett, you need to stop.
Try it. I don't know where it's coming from. I don't really don't even know where it's coming from.
These people are having this is like it's like a nervous breakdown that Like, that's a testament to what quarantine has been like for a lot of people.
We all have our milk in the cereal moment.
Milk. Don't put the bowl in the cereal because I take out
the bowl. And the box is the mom and the bowl is the dad. And
yeah, it's like, yeah, your issues are showing. And the box is the dad and the mom is the cereal. Picks the thing with the thing. And they leave me alone all day. They both have jobs and they won't come home and they make me make my own dinner. And they didn't come home that night. Mom came home and I think she was drunk. And dad came. It's just like, it's 11 minutes long of this poor woman being like, and then no one helped me with my science project, and I couldn't get it done, and I got an F. I had to explain to the teacher.
That's why I choose bad men, and so I'm here with one of them now.
And he just poured milk on my head, and
that's
told
just
me,
fine, because dad never came home, and I guess that it was my fault. And then, was I wrong? I really don't know.
And then for 5 minutes, it's like, and it's all my fault, and it's all my fault, and it's all my fault. It's all my fault, and it's all my fault. It's all my fault. I ruined my family, and it's all my fault. And she's just like shooting the video, crying on the floor.
Oh, like, surrounded by like. She can't even cry. She's just like, oh my God, this is so great. I got to show it to someone. And he shows it to someone. And then she starts to cry. All right. What the hell is this?
All right. Sorry about that. I think I've got the right one now. This is Boris Pickett's climate mash.
We were hiking past the White House late one night when our eyes beheld an eerie sight. The president appeared with folks very strange, the zombies and vampires of global climate change. It's not global warming, say oil company disciples. Our math tells us it's natural weather cycles. These claims from industry heavies let the president rest behind his own protective levees. They're doing the climate mash.
Okay.
Real science.
Okay. Those women sound like they are drugged who are singing behind him.
They did the mash.
They did the mash.
Please let us go.
It was late one night, and I was.
And I had my Nexium sex slaves. Yeah.
I kidnapped 3 fans from the horror convention.
I taught them about global warming and they were nice enough. But then I realized that they wanted to go home. They did the mash.
And then I threw down 3 frozen dinners.
The climate mash. Wait, what did he do? He threw down 3 frozen dinners uncooked?
Yeah, for them to eat. They have to just, like, suck on frozen dinners.
It was late one night.
After the fan convention, a couple of pretty women got my attention. I talked to them about carbon emissions. And now they're locked inside my friggin' basement.
He did the mash.
I did the climate mash.
Please let us go.
I'm basically Keith Raniere.
Someone free us.
Just try to stop me. I'm above the law.
The climate mash.
By the way, global warming's real.
Also, take a peek at that view count after a year and change. That is the most depressing thing I've ever seen. Boris Pickett can't break the 2,000 view mark in a year with a sequel to Monster Mash.
Well, it looks like we have to watch it. What is it? 65 more times?
We got to get this guy to 2,000 views. Oh, my God. Did we do a show? Is that a show?
I think that was a show.
We did it!
We did the show, the first annual Halloween episode of Double Threat.
And next week we'll have another Halloween episode of Double Threat. Because it's the only holiday that Tom and I observe.
Pretty much. So we will be back next week. And we're working on more surprises for you.
And we would love for you to keep sending us clips, and Halloween clips are good, or any kind of clips are good, or things to talk about that you would like to hear us talk about.
And send us your merch designs. We'll have some new merch rolling out in the store probably this week. We've got some designs that came in.
We should definitely do one of like the Double Threat logo, but with both of us have goatees and it says Porno Double Threat.
Yes. Yep. And it maybe,
or maybe it should just be Porno Brett, maybe.
Porno Brett should be the thing.
Any and all.
Let's do both. Why don't we do
both? What if it's double Brett and we get Brett's silhouette, like both two Bretts, but one visibly has a goatee?
That's great.
And it outsells the regular one.
Yeah. Double Brett. I love it. And you know what else I love is when people rate and subscribe to the podcast wherever they get their podcast.
Leave us a comment and say how much you like the show on iTunes and so forth. Apple Podcasts, is that what it is, Brett?
Yeah. Thank you. We really appreciate that. It helps the show, helps us get more exposure. So please do that.
Buy merch. The link up to the merch is in the show notes. And follow us on social media, Double Threat Pod. And send us stuff and email stuff to doublethreatpod@gmail.com. And what else?
Not us. We want to be surprised. So don't send it to us.
Yeah, just the way that Brett. Oh, don't. By the way, don't book guests, though. That's Brett's job. Brett's the only one who's allowed to book surprise guests.
All right.
Well, thank you guys for listening.
Milk or cereal first?
Brett, what's the matter with you?
It's an unpopular opinion. With
everything goes in the bowl, and you pour it all in. Put your money in, put your law
in. I don't know what's happening.
Put your keys in the bowl. Eat your driver's license with milk on top, and the next thing you know,
ghosted by my parents. People said that was impossible, but I didn't realize that when you're 9, everything you take personally. And in a way, I guess I still do, because I think we're all emotionally 9, 8, 7, 6. Giving it trust issues. The milk.
Sorry about that. I don't know how that happened.
Don't get her on the show, Brett.
If you get her on the show, we'll be so mad.
Yeah.
Because she'll start crying right away and we won't know how to handle it.
If suddenly you go, I got you a surprise guest, like we think it's a show with no guests, and suddenly it's like, actually, there's one guest I have lined up, and suddenly we just see this this normal looking woman on the feed, and we're just like, oh, hi, who are you? And she goes, milk. And I'll be like, nope.
Like if, or don't even
like, put the bird in the bowl, and the bird, you can pour the milk on the bird, and the bird's in the bowl, and you're eating a bird with milk on its head, and next thing you know, it's not exactly milk. Then you pour some Reese's Pieces cereal on top of the bird. The bird starts eating the cereal,
and the bird splashes around in the milk. 10 months now.
And I've had coronavirus 3 times by now, and I keep catching it.
Can't remember the feel of human touch. Then why are those sirens outside all the time?
Yeah. Milk. Thanks for listening, cereal. Everybody.
Bye, guys. See you next week.
Forever Dog.
This has been a Forever Dog production. Executive produced by Brett Boehm, Joe Cilio, and Alex Ramsey. For more original podcasts, please visit foreverdogpodcasts.com and subscribe to our shows on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. Keep up with the latest Forever Dog news by following us on Twitter and Instagram @ForeverDogTeam and liking our page on Facebook.